B-Pod Studios.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, 617-779-0985. I was at the barbershop yesterday, and people had been talking about Rich and his feelings about the 76ers being worse. He didn't like the idea that Simmons got that money. And then I said, well, if we're talking about Simmons, I said, there was, for all the talk of Tatum, they had no plan of him being an A, B, or C on their team.
Which I think is crazy.
But the plan fell apart.
Because there was a two-part plan. The first one was it was going to be the Hayward, Kyrie, Al Horford era, and then that would age out, and hopefully it would be the Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum era.
I don't think that would have worked out financially. But, John, go ahead.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Rick, hey, hey, hey.
I don't see where you're going with this, because if Danny wanted Tatum not to be that guy, he would have been gone for Anthony Davis months ago. This would have kept Kyrie in town. This would have brought more free agents in. So I don't really see your argument here with it.
Well, first of all, there's two things to that. If you just want to believe what the Celtics say, and once again, I don't know if this is true or not. They said they didn't want to trade Jason Tatum, and that was a sticking point.
No, they didn't want to trade
I don't think I believe that, but if it means getting Anthony Davis
for a year,
I absolutely would have traded Jason Tatum. I've been saying that forever.
For a year, you'd be trading Tatum for.
But I also think that he would have only been traded if there was an indication that he felt he was going to re-sign.
Sure,
and I think Danny wouldn't have done it otherwise.
They believe in Tatum, though. That's what they believe in the Tatum Brown experiment, and that's why they haven't gave up on it yet.
I agree.
No,
so you and I agree, John.
They would have given up on it, but the plan fell apart.
Well, I don't think it's not that it fell apart. I think Danny said, Kyrie, I'm going to bring in Anthony Davis. Will you stay? And he said, no, I'm out. And I don't even want to be here. So he's like, why am I going to give up two of my best players to get absolutely nothing in return for 1 year?
Well, no. I mean, the plan was to have Kyrie, Hayward, Horford, or Kyrie, and then even add Davis to that mix. If Tatum's supposed to be an A, B, or C, now's the time, but that was not the plan.
So here's the reason that
people are saying that they have a all right.
You can't sign a guy who is such a massive liability in so many ways. So think about it. Not only can Ben Simmons not shoot a three, but he also sucks at the free throw line. So at the end of the game, when you need him the most, like when you need a clutch player in there the most, the kind of money you give a max contract to. You could do Hack a Simmons if you want. He shoots just over 50% from the free throw line. You're going to pay a superstar, a guy who is a liability at the end of a game?
The other thing, and some listeners have pointed this out, and I agree with them. The other thing is Simmons is really good on certain teams, and this year is going to test him more than last year. Simmons, who will not shoot from the outside, is very effective when he has guys who can spot up and he can pass to. So now, with Redick out, with Redick gone to New Orleans and Butler gone to Miami, you have fewer. I didn't say they were bereft of that. I mean, no, you have Horford, you got Tobias Harris, you got guys who are willing to take threes, right. Embiid included.
All right.
So we'll see.
Arthur, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I have a question. Has Simmons ever posterized Tatum before?
Well, I don't know. I don't got the poster.
Okay, well, you should get the poster of Tatum posterizing Simmons, because it happens.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm mistaken. I should have not had that.
And by the way, Simmons is, I believe, 2 years older than Jason Tatum.
Yes. 22.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to take a look at where they are, I mean, in 2 years, they're pretty close as far as points per game.
Okay.
He's only 1 point more. And by the way, Ben Simmons played about 4 or 5 minutes more per game than Jason Tatum this last season.
Yeah, because he's better.
No, because Andre. there was less people to handle the ball.
Yeah, and he's 6'10 and can handle the ball. Andre, go ahead.
Hey guys, I don't agree the money that they gave Ben Simmons, but listen to this. I know the guy can't shoot, but this guy can rebound. He's a very gifted passer for his height. He's 6'10 point guard. He's a mismatch for all point guards, and he can block. He can steal. It's not about ifs, but if this guy develops a shot, he can be a top 10 player in the NBA, and he's still very
young. You can't be a top 10 player in the NBA if you can't shoot a free throw, and you can't shoot a three-pointer.
If he develops a shot,
when's he going to learn?
He's a top 10 player.
He's 23 years old.
Way to go. I've
23.
Seen Al Horford, Al Horford wasn't a three-point shooter until about 4 or 5 years ago.
It has been known to happen. Exactly, and Ben Simmons, first of all, he's 22, and Jason Tatum isn't 20.
Okay, real quick, can we stop with the Al Horford and Ben Simmons? Al Horford was a center. Ben Simmons is a point guard that can't shoot a
three.
We're just talking about the ability to shoot from the outside. Right, okay, and I've long considered if Ben Simmons learns how to shoot threes,
how tall is Al Horford?
About an inch shorter than Simmons.
Yeah, so they're about the same height.
Right, and so Al Horford developed that, and by the way, he was a center.
Yes,
and Ben Simmons, that's what I'm saying.
He will be. The caller's right.
If a center can't shoot a three, that's not so strange. If there's a point guard that can't shoot a three,
he's a point guard in a center's body, which is about he's like a world guy. You know, Belichick has those guys. Like you can't develop that kind of today's
NBA positions are a lot less important.
Yes. And there's more to the game. I mean, I wish he could shoot outside too, but I mean, he does so many things.
Right now, Simmons is a better player. I don't think any of us can argue that. Right now, Simmons is a better player.
He's 2 years older.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm. No, Tatum's not 20.
Tatum's 21.
Whatever the case is, Simmons is a little older. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Right now, Simmons is a better player, but. And it's on the separate teams they played on. Tatum last year didn't get the basketball a lot because there were better players around him.
That's right.
Simmons got the ball a ton.
Yeah, because he was
so
good.
The learning curve, even with
Jimmy Butler on the team, he got the ball a lot.
Simmons, I understand that.
Yeah, he was on a team that were better than the Celtics.
Simmons turns 23 on Saturday.
All right, fine. Then Tatum turns what? Did he just turn 21? I don't know.
He's going to be 22 in March.
All right, so he's a year younger. Congratulations to everyone.
Year and a half.
All right, I don't want to take this. Come on. All right, Adam, go ahead.
Hey, guys, if you want to know who's the better player, just look at who did better in their first run of the playoffs. Tatum was breaking Celtic rookie records, and Ben Simmons had a one-point game. He's a one-trick pony.
Ben Simmons was on a far superior team at that point where he had to share the basketball. And he's his point guard. He's got to distribute. That's all. I mean, good luck matching up against him. I don't know who you're going to put on him, but it should be interesting.
It was actually Horford, if I remember, in the playoffs.
Yeah, so if you have to Horford check a point guard, that leaves a lot of other things open. So we shall see.
I find it amazing. It's just there's an easy game plan if you're going up against them in the playoffs. If it's close at the end, Ben Simmons can't shoot free throws.
All right, you're going to have to. Who are you going to put on him in the playoffs?
Anyone who can hack him. If you're down a few points, it's hack a Simmons. The dude can't shoot free throws.
Well, so can half the league can't shoot free throws. All right, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
Oh, just so much fantastic stuff. You may have hated Game of Thrones, but Emmy voters didn't. One of the grossest things I've ever seen on a plane, and there is a viral sensation who found a way to make some money out of it, fighting.
Yes, and that's going to go famously. That's always a good way to go. And Geddy Lee joining us as well.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. 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 Stack, stack.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Everyone on Pins and Needles. Geddy Lee going to be on the show at 9:45.
Geddy Lee!
Mm-hmm. We're at, if you get the special Beyond the Lighted Stage DVD, there's an extra DVD of the gentleman, the three of them, eating at a very fancy restaurant. They have it all to themselves. And you can hear the camaraderie between the three.
Mm.
Even Neil Peart.
Was that filmed during their last tour, their final tour?
No, they've released several DVDs over the course of the last 10 years, and I believe there is one out of the final tour.
Okay, which I attended, as a matter of fact, with the Wallachead. I was there at the TD Garden.
That's right.
I brought the Wallachead along with me.
And then everyone, why'd you bring a picture of me?
By the way, that weird app that was called the Face app or the thing that they've been doing where it makes everyone look old because everyone's done it now. I know people were like pissed off at it because everyone did it. It's amazing. Like that app is amazing because you can legitimately look at those pictures and go, that's what these people will probably end up looking like. I morphed into like a turkey neck Bill Murray. Wallach just looks like Wallach.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, I have to admit, you aged very well.
Yeah, because I already look old. But yeah, I like that the people are doing that nice facial recognition that is going on. Did you hear that they're collecting, firms are now collecting data from security cameras? Like facial recognition, they're taking faces so they can.
It's kind of been going on for a little bit, hasn't
facial,
it?
Facial recognition
yeah.
without your consent. They're doing that. So
there's going to be some sort of a major lawsuit, I'm sure, that once people find out just how much that's being used and how you're being marketed to. Well, wasn't there like a theory that that robot that's walking around the grocery stores is just collecting your data and your information, like what you're looking at? It's kind of for marketing purposes.
Well, yeah, whenever you use like a drugstore benefits card or anything like that, they're tracking you.
Well, now I'm not even shocked when I talk about something and I look at my Facebook feed and I see that there's something that I just spoke about, didn't Google about, didn't do any kind of search about, and it's on there. So I know it's listening to me.
That
now.
Doesn't happen to me. All I get is spiritual stuff.
Oh, really?
Like meditating stuff.
Although apparently my Facebook thinks I'm obsessed with the band Oasis, which I don't think I've talked or even thought about the band Oasis in forever, but there's like a million like Noel Gallagher interviews. I'm like, why do I care about this?
Yeah, once you click on something, then they never leave you alone.
Very strange. Well, we got this email over the weekend. A gentleman says, hi, our names are Justin and Matt, and we run Redline Media, whatever that is. They said, we caught up with Cordarrelle Peterson at the DCU Center Saturday night and an interesting comment about how he feels to be a Super Bowl champion. Now, Cordarrelle Peterson now is with the Bears. Is that
Patterson.
The team?
Patterson.
Patterson. Yeah, I meant Patterson. He's
is that right? I think that's right.
Is he with the Bears?
No, so. Patterson. Yes.
No, we're not
Patterson.
Saying that. We're saying with the Bears.
Oh.
I grew up with a friend called Ted Patterson. So.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Probably not a good name to be growing
yes,
up with.
Chicago Bears. Yeah. Get a little pedophile jokes.
Yeah, a lot of jokes like that. But here is Cordarrelle, and he is being interviewed, and this was just kind of strange.
One question. What's it like to be a Super Bowl champ?
It's a lot to be a Super Bowl champ. Honestly, a Super Bowl don't mean to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a new year right now. I'm on a new team, so it's a new opportunity for me to, you know, to bring my legacy and live on to another team. So whatever happens in the last year in the past, that's in the past. So I'm trying to just move forward.
I understand the whole thing. I'm on a new team and I'm moving on. That just seemed a little strange to be so angry about it.
Well, you know, he's not looking the past. He does look into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Can't relive the past. You always got to be looking at the next step.
You know what big ballers do? They wear shirts that say big ballers that they bought for $5.
Yeah, I mean, and who doesn't say baller anymore?
So, LeVar Ball, this is the guy who is the genius behind the $500 Big Baller sneakers.
Whose son doesn't even wear the sneakers anymore, and who has covered up the Big Baller tattoo that he had.
Yeah, he's done that.
By the way, I had to look because I knew you guys were going to talk about this. The Big Baller brand website currently under construction.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's somehow
be bigger and better.
It didn't work out.
We will be back soon.
You're going to be bigger ballers.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
one of their GeoCities.
Pop-up shops over the weekend, the Big Baller brand was selling several items on clearance. Prices range from $5 for T-shirts to $10 for a package that includes a T-shirt, hoodie, pair of shoes, pair of socks, and an evening with, I don't know, LeVar.
Everything must go.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yep.
And you know where they were selling? You know where the pop-up store was? It was at a local volleyball tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's where you get all the guys.
That's where the big ballers hang out. And the guy selling...
And then we're run off.
The guy selling the merch has a shirt that says, stay in your lane. Remember for a brief
yes,
moment
Jesus.
When he told, I think, Christine Leahy, the second time we've referenced her this morning, he told her to stay in her lane.
Yeah, that's why they... That's why he's selling the brand.
By the way,
staying in his lane.
Speaking of tattoos and covering up tattoos, so I get my hair cut from the same woman. And
barbershop?
It's barbershop. Yeah. Boston Barber and Tattoo. We'll give him a little plug.
Why?
Because it's great. She does a great job.
Do they pay?
Do they? What's that?
They pay the station?
No, they listen. They listen.
Yeah, but you can't be throwing out free advertising.
But to use her for a story, so I'll give her a little plug. So she was cutting my hair, and she's somebody who's, you know, I've seen that she's got, like, tattoos on her arm and stuff like that while she's been cutting my hair. Well, yesterday's the first time where the weather's been nice enough to wear shorts, And I'm kind of getting ready, and she puts the thing on somebody. She walks away and comes walking back, and I see in the mirrors, and I look, and her legs, I actually yelled, "Holy S," out loud as she walked up towards me, because on her left thigh, and I'm talking knee all the way up to where the shorts stop, on both legs are the two creepy twins from The Shining. And it's perfect art.
Oh.
Like taking up each entire thigh. And I yelled at him, like, "Oh my God, sorry, I didn't mean to scream that."
That's
my Lord.
That's a situation where maybe, you know, you were intoxicated the night before. No, it was dark.
No, this took a long time.
No. I'm saying if you're a man or a woman, what I don't know what your preference is, but if you're a mate and it's very, like, it's dark in the room and they'd been wearing pants, and you wake up the next morning and you go, "Me's gotta go."
Oh, it was great.
What's
dude?
Your phone number? 555-5555.
She laughed at my reaction, and she goes, "Oh, well, have you seen this one?" And she looked at the other part of her leg, was a naked woman and the devil having sex.
Yeah.
And I was like, "All right, well,
that might be a little intimidating the next day."
Those two twins, oh my God, did it look awesome! Like they were legitimate, great tattoos.
Yeah,
like, the artwork was awesome, but they are.
I don't care if it was
huge.
Picasso.
That was very, very, very interesting, very intimidating, and good artwork. Well, if you wanted to talk about disgusting people on an airplane, we see them all the time. But there's a video that's been making the rounds, which might be one of the grossest things that I've seen. Mm. Now, it has been clarified that this is not somebody who had to do this. In other words, this is not somebody who is impaired and indeed had to use the thing that you're referring to,
yes,
Fred,
yes.
Your feet. Have you been on the planes now and you've seen the little video monitor that sometimes they put in front of you if you're on a nice Delta flight?
Yeah, you go and smell them.
Well, now that they have movies that you can choose through, you just like a touchpad can scroll through it, except this person has no shoes on and is using their feet and rubbing their feet on the screen in order to swipe them through.
But your feet are cleaner than your hands.
I have no problem with that. They're sweaty and gross.
Yeah, but they don't have germs on them.
They got sweat and grime.
Why would your shoes have grime? Why would your feet have grime on them?
Because they step in crap, and on top of that, you've got sweat and all socks are perfectly floral. They're fine. There's nothing that makes a sock smell bad.
If you have socks and shoes on, there's not like you're not getting anything dirty, not like your hands.
Where do you think the stink from the sock comes from? It comes from your feet, something
your
foot produces.
Some of your foot produces, but nothing that is like a germ or anything.
So it's still someone's sweat and gross, like foot juice.
I mean, you could have sweaty hands.
You've never seen toe cheese in your life?
Yeah, but but she looked like she had manicured feet.
Dude, feet are disgusting. It's a dude, by the way.
Oh, but it looked like he had very nice feet. Feet are disgusting.
Well, maybe not to DA.
Maybe I'll leave.
So this woman is like, now that's a situation where I wouldn't say anything. I would just think it was gross and have to grin and bear it. But if you're sitting next to that person, don't you almost got to go, "Dude, what are you doing?"
It wouldn't bother me.
If somebody takes their shoes off next to you and kicks them up and their bare feet are right next to you, that doesn't gross you out and you wouldn't say anything?
Maybe if they were right next to me. I don't know. It doesn't bother. I didn't look at it as... I thought people were overreacting, to be honest. But if we are going to talk to Geddy Lee, we can ask his opinion on that. Sure.
By the way, the email is richshirtlieb at 985 The Sports Hub for all my posse.
For all the foot posse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the feetsers on you.
Is that the name of the crew, the Feetsers?
That's the name of our political group.
The Feetsers.
Down with Rich. Down
that's
with
right.
Rich. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 thus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, singer, songwriter, and officer of the Order of Canada. From the rock band Rush, Mr. Geddy Lee.
Hello, I'm Geddy Lee. And if you're like me, winter means one thing, tobogganing. Tobogganing's fun, but safety comes first. Don't be a hero. Pick a hill that's not too steep. Small children and people worried about their brain should always wear a helmet. Today we'll be using a traditional wooden toboggan. Remember when you make your run to keep your hands and feet in at all times. Then let out a scream and don't be afraid to give her.
Dude, you even go hemispheres on the people?
I mean, listen, if you want me to bust out hemispheres, I just thought since he's doing a radio interview, spirit of radio.
Oh, very clever. It went over my head. Geddy Lee, of course, of Rush, has been spending his time traversing the globe, putting together his new book, Big Beautiful Book of Bass. I've heard him talk about this. It did indeed take him all over the world. He is doing a signing at Brookline Booksmith, and that will be going on tomorrow at 6 p.m. Mr. Geddy Lee, hello.
Hello there. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. Now, are you going to attend the game tomorrow? It's a day game, the Blue Jays Red Sox.
Oh, I didn't realize that my Blue Jays were in town, so I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I think I can get you a ticket for face value. I play no favorites.
I need to consider.
Just because you're in some band don't mean that you get him for free, Mr. Lee. Talking about Fenway Park.
Now, you're like a huge fan, obviously, of the team. We always see you behind. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting whenever you randomly will turn on like a Blue Jays game, and you'll be right there behind home plate. Now, do you watch the entire game, or you bring a book with you, don't you?
Yeah, it's not a book to read. I do score the games. It does give me something to do in those long innings, especially these days when our pitching is getting shelled. But, I'm a fan. I try to get to as many games I can throughout the summer. I've been traveling a lot this summer, so I've missed quite a few games. But I try to get there when I can.
Now, obviously, this is a book of bass, and a lot of the bases that you have and a lot of the bases that you've tried to acquire. And has this replaced your because you had one of the biggest private collections of baseball memorabilia out of anyone, right?
Well, yeah, I've been fanatical about that stuff for quite a few years, and I am a collector by nature. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I collected stamps, as all nerdy kids do. And then when I got into music, I started collecting vinyl, and really that led to me wanting to be a musician. I still have my old vinyl collection. And then when I was traveling around, you know, year in and year out on the road, I became a baseball nut, and then I decided I wanted to have souvenirs of the game, and that sort of turned into learning about the history of the game for me. So when I started collecting bass guitars, it was rather late in my career. You know, I'd already been, you know, touring for over 40 years, and somebody offered me a vintage Fender guitar from 1953, and it sort of sparked an interest because I realized I'd been holding this instrument for so many years in my hands without really knowing anything about its beginnings or its evolution, who invented it, when did it first make an appearance. So those are the kind of things that usually spark my interest, and then once I get hooked on learning about that, I end up diving deep into the rabbit hole. And so 250 bases later, I figured I better put them in a book to justify my madness.
Now, which one do you think has the best story along with it? Out of all the bases, the one that you look at and you laugh, you're like, wow, there's a great story that goes along with this guy.
Well, there are quite a few great stories have surfaced. One of my favorites is I found this really rare version of Vox bass that was made in the U.K., in the early 60s, and I found it in Malaysia, and the gentleman who owned it had bought it from the original owner, and he sent it along with pictures of him and his band. And if you can just imagine through the 60s, you know, what a rock band looked like, coming from Malaysia, it was a whole different vibe. And a very sweet story that accompanied this guy, and he took such great care of it. So, I mean, that's one of the stories that stands out. There are others. I found this wonderful 64 Fender Jazz bass, and it came from a single owner in Ireland. And when we opened the case, and this is a guy who played an Irish show band, and so when we opened the case, all you could smell was Guinness and cigarettes. You know, it was obviously it spent its life, you know, playing in every kind of pub across Ireland, and this became, you know, his escape. This was his great escape. So there are lots of stories like that where you find an instrument that's been the guy's real love, his passion for all these years.
Now we're talking to Geddy Lee. Geddy, one of my wife's favorite concerts that she's ever been to was Rush, and she said it was because it's the only concert she ever went to where she didn't have to wait even 1 second to get into the women's restroom. There was like almost no women at the show, whereas all of us at the show, in this or here in the studio, have seen you multiple times. What was it like being in a band that was huge? And you know, a lot of people get into bands to meet women, and you finally get big, and then you realize, man, this is just like a bunch of dudes who like our band.
Yeah, if you're joining a rock band to meet women, you don't join Rush.
But you guys, like, toured with Kiss and stuff.
Yeah,
you got, like, the runoff from other bands, you know?
Well, what was really cute in the last, I would say, 15 years of our touring was the women that are Rush fans took great offense to those comments, right? So they then took it upon themselves to make their presence known at our shows. So I remember one time looking out and seeing a giant banner that says Mythbusters, Women Who Love Rush, and there was this, you know, big section that was nothing but women holding these banners. So over the years, of course, our demographics changed. We got more families coming to our shows, which was really nice. We got, you know, three generations of Rush fans, and women started sneaking in.
All right, so one of the things, and I've watched multiple documentaries with you guys, and obviously the relationship that the three of you have, but you and Lifeson have known each other for so long, and Neil Peart is kind of an odd fella, and he's had terrible things happen in his life, but did he ever write lyrics where you and Lifeson looked at each other and said, like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, this is some weird next-level stuff.
Well, I would say there's usually one song every album where we scratch our heads a little bit. But the great thing about being such good pals, and also the great thing about having the real kind of relationship we had, this was all about whatever he would write lyrically would all be all about what we responded to. So if there was some part of one song that we responded to quite strongly, but the rest of it was a bit of a head scratcher, we could just, you know, I would just go back to him and say, look, this part is really, you know, really hitting home. Can we, you know, make that the central part of the song? So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens in a band, you know. And there's not every piece of music Alex and I have written that he was in love with either. So it's all part of a partnership.
Now, who convinced who to rap in Roll the Bones?
Well, that was kind of everybody's idea, because Neil had written this really cool section, yet we weren't a traditional rap band, so it was obvious us to just start rapping would have seemed odd. So we started figuring out different ways we could handle it, and we went through a list of what we called guest artists that maybe could come in and do the rap. At one point, we really wanted to get John Cleese from Monty Python to do it. And then in the end, we decided, well, we'll just disguise my voice and create this electronic robotic kind of figure. And that's pretty much how we handled it.
You know, it's I was thinking about it, and I think the very first time I heard Geddy Lee's voice, I was a kid, and it wasn't, you know, of course, the classic way people got into Rush, those early albums. I believe it was Take Off to the Great White North, the Bob and Doug McKenzie parody song with Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas. And that was like an SCTV collaboration that you did back in the day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. That's my biggest hit single, guys. Come on. yeah, they call. I went to school with Rick Moranis. I'd known him pretty much most of my life. And I bumped into him from time to time at, like, the Juno Awards or different events in Canada. And when their segment of SCTV got so, so huge, and they decided that they were going to do an album, he called me right away. He said, look, we have an actual pop song. Would you come down and sing on it? So I was more than happy to begin my life in comedy in that way. So it was great fun. I was really happy to be part of the team for that.
Yeah, because people who don't see you live probably don't realize the sense of humor that the band has. I mean, you guys, use comedians and stuff in your visual presentations. And I will say this, and this is without any exaggeration, Alex Lifeson's appearance on the Trailer Park Boys is the ultimate of all musicians guest starring on shows. That is the best one of all of them. When they kidnap Alex Lifeson.
Yeah, no, that's great. People that know Al, and even our fans who understand his personality, know that he's the effing funniest guy you'll ever meet. You know, he is just a sweetheart of a guy, and he's hilarious. So he hooked up with the Trailer Park Boys as sort of pals, and then he ended up playing a big part in their show, and he's still very close with those guys.
So Geddy Lee, there's this adage, and he's got he's going to be signing his book tomorrow night at the Brookline Booksmith, and there's an old adage that
people say, get in line early.
Get in line early. It's going to be packed. Is that athletes want to be musicians, and musicians want to be athletes. As you being such a sports fan, like, who was the athlete that surprised you the most? Was a giant Rush fan?
Well, I met quite a few, but I think when I first met Randy Johnson, that was a bit of a surprise. And I didn't realize what a serious music fan he was. And I remember him coming to a show in Seattle when he was playing with the Mariners. And he knew all the tunes. I mean, he was a drummer himself. And so he was a big Neil Peart fan, obviously. And so he wanted to say hey, and he, I guess, knew a lot of the guys from the Seattle scene, because that was right around the same time that the grunge scene was happening in that part of the country. So he came out to a gig, and we hit it off right away because, of course, I'm a baseball nut. And when I eventually visited him at his home and saw his music collection, it was mind-blowing. Like, he has an extensive collection of rare vinyl and is really quite a knowledgeable dude. So he was a big surprise to me.
Well, Geddy, you might not know this, but here locally there is a Super Bowl champion, a legend. He's now a famous broadcaster on ESPN who we did not know was a massive fan of yours. Do you know Teddy Bruschi from the New England Patriots by any chance?
No, I don't. I'm afraid I don't.
Okay, he is a huge presence. He's a very large gentleman.
And just because his name is Teddy and your name is Geddy, so that had nothing to do with it.
So we one day had Teddy Bruschi in studio, and we said to him, we're like, we must have been loopy. We've been up for hours and hours, and we said, hey, listen, we want to do a game where you do the lyrics to Rush, and it would be called Geddy Bruschi. Would you be into that? He's like, yeah, Rush. Heck yeah, I'll do that. And we're like, whoa, okay, all right. So this is something we developed called Geddy Bruschi. This is Teddy Bruschi. I just want to play you this quick 20-second clip. Teddy Bruschi.
All right.
As Geddy Lee.
A modern-day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense. Riding out the day's events. The river.
So that right there is Geddy Bruschi.
So he's a rap artist, you're saying?
Yes. It's probably the biggest thrill of your career.
Right. Well, you can turn on ESPN during the NFL season. He'll be all over the place. He's one of their head anchors now, and he's a friend of Tom Brady. So there you go.
Okay, and so, right. and so real quick, just before we promote the book again, so Rush is over now, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you and Alex, are you planning to do anything possibly together?
Well, we see each other all the time, so it's always possible that we could do something, but we haven't made any plans at this stage.
Have you written music?
I haven't written any songs. I've been writing this big, beautiful book of bass for the last couple of years, and now I'm out on the road blah, blah, blahing about it. So when that's all said and done, I have all these bass guitars that will be staring at me at home. So it is possible that I will feel some sense of guilt and responsibility and go seek gainful employment in some manner.
Yeah, Geddy Lee's big, beautiful book of bass. It is it's a like a table book. It's a coffee table book, if I'm not mistaken. And it has a very visual, and it has the stories behind the instruments and why Geddy Lee enjoys them so much. And he will be signing books. He's doing this all the time, so be mindful that his right hand could be in an incredible amount of pain. But he will be at the Brookline Booksmith, 279 Harvard Street in Brookline, tomorrow at 6 p.m. I would suggest lining up early. I've heard a great deal about this book, and we have five copies to give away. 617-779-0985. Geddy Lee, it's an absolute pleasure, and congratulations on the book and much success.
Thank you so much. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Oh, finally, I meant to ask you, because you're the only one who likes it as much as I do, your favorite J.R.R. Tolkien book.
Oh, well, I guess you'd have to say The Hobbit.
Boom!
Did you like the three-movie adaptation of The Hobbit, or were you not a fan?
No, I love them. I'm a sucker for that stuff. And I think Peter Jackson did such a great job with all those, reinventing all those great scenes from those books. So I'm a fan.
I'm a Silmarillion guy, just between you and me.
All right. Well, listen, leave them
out. All right. Nice.
All right. Geddy Lee, go see him tomorrow at the Brookline Booksmith. 6 o'clock, get in line early. The big, beautiful book of bass is what it is. He has traveled the world. Thank you so much, Mr. Geddy
Lee. Thanks, Geddy.
Thank you very much. Go Jays.
There you go. Well, fine. That's just fine with me.
Invisible airwaves crackle with life. Bright antenna, Bristol with the energy.
Thank you, Geddy.
This is Teddy Bruschi, and I am Geddy Bruschi. Emotional feedback on timeless wavelength, bearing a gift beyond price, almost free.
There you have it, Geddy Lee.
There we go, Geddy Lee.
I've never talked to Geddy Lee before.
I've never talked to him.
Just the looks on your faces were priceless.
There's some times where I get a little starstruck.
Yeah, that was one of those times.
If he was in studio, I would have been a mess.
Oh, if he was in studio, it would
have
been great.
Oh, man.
I would have been an absolute mess.
I would have had him sign so many science fiction books.
I honestly don't get Star Trek too much. Geddy Lee in studio, I would have lost it.
I would have been great.
I would have asked if he would wear one of his silk robes from the Hemispheres era. All right, well, that will do it for us.
How about that?
How about that? You get a little Geddy Lee.
Great stuff.
We're going to replay 85 times tomorrow. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.